Winston, a serial in six parts by Peter Tinniswood. Number 5, Wacko, Jolly D.
Oh, don't cry then, sing.
I'm not crying, Father.
Yeah, I want you to be happy, old boy.
I'm not crying, Father.
It's a time for rejoicing, Nancy, not crying. I'm going back to India. I'm returning to the land which gave me the happiest times in the whole of my life.
I know, Father.
Well, then why are you crying?
For God's sake, you stupid old man, I am not crying.
No, of course you're not. You're really happy for me, aren't you?
Oh, yes, Father. As always, as usual.
You know, I can feel India now in my bones throbbing through my veins.
Oh, good, Father. I'm so pleased for you.
India! I can already feel the nip of the crisp, sharp air of the high mountain passes. I can smell rich cream buns in Simla. I can hear the slow, complaining grunt of water buffalo. I can see the women returning from the well, a pitcher of water balanced on their heads, their hips swaying, their slim, smooth arms held out to balance themselves, and their limp, languid wrists rich with promise for the night to come.
Father, really?
India. I once took a ferry across the Ganges. Or was it the Indus? I don't suppose it matters all that much, really. They're both fearfully riparian, aren't they?
Oh, yes, Father, without a doubt.
It was a dark night, no moon. Big, plump-arsed clouds, and your mother was talking to this wallow with the most frightful speech impediment. I think he was a circuit judge.
He was a surgeon general, Father.
No, so he was, Nancy, so he was. Anyway, there we were, drinking our pink gins. But all of a sudden there was this ghastly grinding crash, and the whole boat juddered, and then it started to buck and bounce, and very slowly it began to list to port, or was it starboard, and all the women started to scream, and great billowing sparks shot out of the funnel and set the canvas awnings alight, and... Ah, I say, an army helicopter, wacko, Jolly D. Oh, I shall miss those helicopters when I go back to India. I really don't know how I'll manage to cope without them.
Oh, Father... What on earth are we going to do with you?
Do with me, Nancy? There's nothing for you to do, my dear. I'm going to India. Isn't that marvellous? I wonder if it's still there after all these years.
What a mess. The happy family. Rosie's going to London. William's going to London. Father's going to... Well, goodness knows where Father's going to. It's the end of the family. Total collapse. I've spent the whole of my life dedicating myself to keeping us together. What a farce. We're splitting up. I've failed completely. What's been the point of it all? All the washing and ironing, all those laxatives on Friday nights, all the tears, all the tantrums, all the bitter arguments, the hurtful, wounding words. Hurt. Wounds. Do you know what hurt me most? When I said we'd all move back to London and I'd care for them and look after them, pamper them, bully them, let them lead lives of total independence, within reason, of course, and what did they do? They turned round and rejected me, out of hand. And why? Because of Winston. Winston, bloody Winston. They worship him and they haven't the faintest idea what he's done to them. Bastard! They think he's released them, liberated them, and it's all been for their interests and their interests alone. Rot. Rubbish. What they don't know is... No. I'll tell them what Winston's really been up to. It's very simple. He wants to boot them out of this house so he can be alone with me. The presumption of it. Me, Nancy, a mature woman, privately educated... I've been to Florence 3 times, and I've seen Sir Geraint Evans personally in the flesh. What do I want with a disgusting village Romeo with his bits of fluff on the side and his fat brown belly and his... I shall go downstairs now, this moment, and very calmly and very rationally I shall tell them the truth. I think I'll change into something rather severe. Isn't Shaking Stevens ghastly?
Why can't I live with you in London, Rosie?
Because I don't want you to, William.
Why?
Because I want to live on my own.
Why?
Because, William, I am sick and tired of this family. I hate it. I'm fed up to the back teeth with it. And so I intend to change my whole life. I intend to be placid and good-natured. Happy smiles, sparkling eyes. I intend to laugh a lot. I've been practising and I've discovered I rather like laughing. It's good fun. But with you living with me, William, all I would do is scream.
Maybe. But why can't I just share with you till I find somewhere of my own?
No, William, no, no, no!
I see, screaming again, are we?
Yes, Nancy, but not for much longer. This is the last outburst. From now on, there's going to be a new Rosie. Placid, gentle, tranquil and serene.
Oh, all gathered together, are we? Sorry if I'm butting in.
Winston, what the hell do you want?
I got something to tell you. I want you to be calm.
We're always calm.
Of course you are, that's why he doesn't want you to fly off the handle.
Well, go on then, man. What is it?
It's your father. He's conked out in his shell.
What? Oh, my God, I knew it! I knew it! It's all your fault, Nancy. You've been badgering him and pestering him and...
Shut up! I don't want no panics. I don't want no hysterics.
I'm not being hysterical!
Shut up! Nancy, I want you to go to the telephone and ring for the doctor. You're to tell him to come immediately at once, lot. And then you're to put out four pillows on your father's bed and get him a clean poke.
Yes. Yes, Winston. I'll do it straight away.
Rosie?
Yes, Winston.
You're to go into the kitchen and make a pot of strong tea.
Yes, Winston, right away.
Rosie.
Yes, Winston.
No hysterics. No tantrums.
Yes, Winston.
Now then, William.
Yes, Winston.
You go to the drinks cabinet and pour out a very large and very stiff glass of brandy.
But Father doesn't like brandy.
It's for me.
How dare you drink brandy at a time like this? How dare
Rosie?
You? Yes, Winston.
The tea?
Yes, Winston.
Make it strong. And don't forget to warm the pot.
Yes, Winston.
We did as we were told. And Winston went to the shed and carried Father in his arms upstairs and very gently laid him in his bed and propped up the pillows behind his head. Father groaned. His face was yellow with white blotches round his eyes and his lips were sheened with blue. His legs twitched and he held his head at a most curious angle.
He's dying, I know it, he's dying.
Rosie.
Yes, Winston.
Pour out the tea.
Yes, Winston.
The doctor came. He was in the room with Father for ages and ages.
There's nothing to worry about, Nancy.
No?
No, he's a good doctor, is Dr. Travel. Or is it Dr. Bainbridge? I don't suppose it matters all that much, really. The point is, he's been in at the birth of all nine of my children, and apart from them all being his ugliest sin, I've never had one word of complaint against him.
Yes, Winston, I'm sure you haven't. But it might have escaped your notice that this is not a case of childbirth. Good God, man, this is a
Nancy.
Case of...
Nancy!
Yes, Winston?
No panics. No tantrums.
Yes, Winston.
Here's the brandy, Winston.
Good man, William.
Only it's not brandy, it's whiskey. I made a mistake, you see. In my panic, I poured out a glass of whiskey. So I drank it myself, intending to repair my error and pour out a glass of brandy. But I didn't. I poured out another glass of whiskey and...
William.
Yes, Winston?
Give it here.
Certainly, Winston.
Ah, cheers. Good health.
The doctor took us downstairs to the drawing room. He hitched up his golf socks, adjusted his binocular case, drank a rather stiff whiskey, and told us Father's life was drawing peacefully to a close. He was tired. His heart was old. He was in no pain. He was quite serene. We gave the doctor another whiskey. Rather stiff one, I thought. Then we helped him to his car, fastened his seatbelt for him, and waved him goodbye. He crashed the gears. Twice. And then we set off for Father's bedroom.
I don't think I'll come with you, Nancy.
Why not?
Well, you don't want me. You don't want old Winston. This is family business, lot.
Of course it is, Winston. And that's why we want you. That's why we need you. You're family now, Winston. You're part of the family.
Thank you, Nancy. I'm obliged. I'm very touched. I'll come with you and accompany you with pleasure. And, William?
Yes, Winston.
When you go into your father's bedroom, don't rattle your cufflinks and fidget with your type. And, Rosie, you smile and be tender and gentle and no rows.
Yes, Winston.
We went upstairs to Father's bedroom. We settled ourselves round his bed. We didn't speak. I looked round at their faces, and I felt happy. Yes, I felt happy. I couldn't help it, but I felt happy and contented. The family was together. The family would remain together, and I wasn't a failure, and my life hadn't been in vain, and I didn't feel a moment's guilt thinking such thoughts.
Nancy?
Yes, Father?
Nancy?
Well, of course I'm here, Father. Good Lord! Sorry. Sorry, Winston. We're all here, Father, Rosie, William, Winston, me, we're all here.
Every present of you. I have a confession to make.
No, Father, don't upset yourself. Just lie still.
Well, I'm lying very still. It's my legs, you see. They seem to belong to someone else. I think they belong to a Sikh chartered accountant I once met in Bombay. Or was it Amritsar?
Amritsar, Father. You met him in Amritsar.
Quite right, William, so I did. I met him in Bombay. Now, I've never been to India, you know.
What?
I've never been to India, never set foot in the place. I've been to Scotland, I've been to Lithuania and Estonia, but I've never been to India.
We know, Father. We've always known.
Yes, Nancy, yes, I know it must come as a great shock to you, my not having been to India. It's come as a great shock to me. I should have been an Indian office man, you know. Oodles of gin, pig-sticking, shooting tigers, being unfaithful to your mother with Mrs. Ventress.
Who's Mrs. Ventress, Father?
Oh, Mrs. Ventress was the lady I was unfaithful with on the night mail to Madras. Twice. In succession. On the trot. She was the station master's wife in Pondicherry and... No, Mrs. Ventress ran a sweet shop in Macclesfield. Was it mine then? I don't suppose it matters all that much, really. She rode a set-up big bicycle, Mrs. Ventress. And every time she saw me, she used to ring the bell like Billy O. Fearfully merry, I thought, fearfully merry of her. I like merry women.
Of course you do, Father.
Your mother wasn't a merry woman.
We know, Father.
Oh, she was a very discontented woman, your mother. Exceedingly discontented. I remember one time we were playing gin rummy in the rest bungalow of the Laga Hills. Or was it Punjab? I don't suppose it matters all that much, really. But anyway, we were... No, I've never been to India, never. Ever in the whole of my life.
We know, Father. We've always known. That's why we've loved you so much. They were such wonderful stories. Much better than my stories about the Lancashire and North Western Railway.
Well, of course they were, it's because they were true. Never been to India. Never. Never. I'll tell you something else.
What, Father?
I've never been to Lithuania. Or was it Macclesfield?
After a while, he nodded off. William and Rosie crept out silently to make some lunch. Winston and I sat together at the foot of the bed, and he took hold of my hand, and he said...
Nancy.
Yes, Winston?
I love you, Nancy. I desire you, and I want you.
Winston. Oh, Winston. And a smile came to Father's face. He smiled, and he grunted with contentment.
What's going on up there? Why would they come down for lunch?
They're keeping vigil, William.
Nancy looks so happy.
Hmm.
So does Winston.
Hmm.
I suppose this is the end of it all now.
Yes, I suppose it is, William. Poor Father. All his stories about India. All his secret drinking we weren't supposed to know about. All his army helicopters and seeing Ranji score a ton at Maidstone, or was it Canterbury?
Canterbury.
It's all over for him now. It's the end.
I wasn't talking about that end, Rosie. I was talking about the end of our plans to move to London.
End of our plans?
the hell are you talking about?
No. No, Rosie. Be calm. Be placid. William, my sweetheart, this is not the end of our plans. We are still going to London. At least I am.
But what about Father? You can't leave him like this.
Oh, I shall wait for Father to die. I shall attend his funeral. I shall weep for him. I shall weep for our past life. All those moves from house to house. All those packing cases bursting with books. All that crockery wrapped in crumpled newspaper. All those removal men and their cups of tea and their flirtatious leers. All those... How curious. All I remember of our past life is moving from house to house. Well, I shall kiss it a fond goodbye, William. And then I shall move to London and set up a new life for myself. Just me. Wacko, jolly dee! A life dedicated just to me. Or will I? Will I ever do it?
Father drifted on. The doctor said he was in no pain. He said he was peaceful. We took in turns to sit at his bedside. We were united as a family, and I was happy. Mostly, Father slept. Sometimes he would twitch his left leg, open his eyes, smile and speak.
You're just like your mother, Nancy.
It's not Nancy, Father. It's me, Rosie.
Yes, just like your mother. She was never satisfied with life, your mother.
Wasn't she, Father?
Oh, no, Nancy, no.
It's not Nancy, Father. It's me, Rosie.
Oh, same thing, old boy, same thing. You know, your mother always used to say to me, why aren't you this? Why aren't you that? Fearfully dissatisfied with her lot, your mother.
Now then, Father, don't upset yourself.
Well, I'm not, Nancy, I'm not. Your mother used to listen to the wireless on the BBC, and she'd turn to me and say, why aren't you our economics correspondent? Or why aren't you the question master around Britain Quiz? Or why aren't you W. Barrington Dorby? Or was it Jean Metcalf? Oh, I don't suppose it matters all that much, really. They've both got loud voices.
The days passed. We sat by Father's bedside. William and Rosie did the day shift. Winston and I spent the nights with him. Once he woke up and said,
Pantaloons!
And then he fell silent. On another night, when the hedgehog snuffled and the starlings stamped in the eaves, he woke up and said,
Much Binding the Marsh, a fearfully amusing program. Much Binding in the Marsh.
He fell asleep, and Winston felt for my hand in the darkness, took hold of it tightly, and said,
Nancy.
Yes, Winston?
It's just you and me together now, isn't it, Nancy?
Yes. Yes, I suppose it is.
Are you happy?
Yes. Yes, I suppose I am.
I've got such plans for us, Nancy.
Oh, Winston.
When your old dad stuffs it, kicks the bucket. Look,
Winston.
No, not so loud.
We can't talk like this in front of Father when he's lying on his deathbed.
Then we'll go outside, look. We'll go into the garden and we'll talk with her.
Yes,
we'll go into the garden, Nancy.
We went into the garden. The night was full of summer. Winston said,
I got such plans for you and me, Nancy.
But what about your wife, Winston? What about your children?
The ankle biters are missus. Oh, don't you worry your head about them, Nancy. Oh, Winston's took care of all that.
But how?
He told him to bugger off.
Winston.
My missus, look, she is without a doubt the ugliest woman what I ever met in the whole of my born days, and so are my kids. Well, I went round to see her last night, and I puts it to her straight. I says, you are a ugly woman, you has 9 ugly kids, and now you has that ugly fancy man. Well, then, you're in clover, ain't you?
And what did she say?
She said, you're a philosopher, Winston. Can I keep your car, your motor? And I said, yes, without a doubt. So we shakes hands, we agreed to part all amicable lot. And so here I am, Nancy, at your disposal.
Winston, I don't know what to say.
Rosie's going, William's going, your old dad's going. There's just you left, Nancy. Just you. On your Todd. On your Jack. Except for me. Except for old Winston.
Oh, Winston.
I've got such plans for us.
You've got plans? You've been making plans, Nancy.
Of course I have. Where they go, we'll start a new life. We'll move from here. We'll go and live somewhere nice. We'll live near the shops. You can enroll in the Open University, and we'll go to Florence for our holidays. I've been to Florence 3 times, Winston.
Have you, Nancy? Have you, Nancy?
Yes. It's wonderful, Winston. It's so stimulating. I'll show you the Prado Gallery.
That's in Madrid, Nancy.
What?
The Prado Gallery. He's in Madrid, Nancy. It's the Uffizi what's in Florence, though.
Oh, my mistake. Anyway, Winston, I'll make a new man of you, educate you, and open new horizons. We'll live somewhere nice with a red Aga cooker and a basement flat we can let off for students. And we'll go to symphony concerts and a theatre and celebrity lectures.
And bed.
What?
Shall we go to bed, Nancy? You and me? A nice, large, warm, loving bed. Shall we share that together?
Yes. Yes, I suppose that will be nicest of all.
Now you tell Rosie and William.
What?
Tomorrow. You tell Rosie and William what you just told me now.
But they're going already, Winston. Why should they need to know?
Tomorrow, you tell them.
Yes, Winston. Yes. The following day, I invited Rosie and William out to lunch.
But what about Father? We can't leave him on his own.
Winston's looking after him.
But Winston's not family. What if Father should die?
Winston is looking after him, and we are going out to lunch, right?
Right, Nancy? Anything you say, Nancy.
I took them to this expensive restaurant I knew, where the army officers talked in loud voices and their wives complained about the bill. When we'd finished our meal, it was terribly expensive, I folded up my napkin and I said,
I've something important to say to you. Well, before you start, we've something important to say to you, haven't we, William?
Yes.
What is it? Tell her, William.
Yes. Well, yes. You know those plans that Rosie and I have for leaving here and moving to London?
Yes.
We've changed them. We're stopping here.
What? We're staying here.
But why?
We've been very close this past few weeks. I don't think we've ever been so close, have we, William?
No.
Sitting by Father's bedside, watching him drift and linger, listening to him talk and ramble. Well, it's changed our minds. It's given us a new outlook on life, hasn't it, William?
Yes. We realise that we've both been unbearably selfish. All we've been doing is thinking of ourselves. We haven't been thinking of you.
Me? You, Nancy.
When Father dies a week ago, what'll happen to you? We'd never thought of that. It had never occurred to us. What'll happen to you? You'll be on your own. How will you cope?
Your whole life has been dedicated to us, and we've taken everything for granted.
We've gobbled you up, Nancy. We've been like cannibals feasting off you. Well, it's all going to change, isn't it, Rosie?
Yes. We'll stay. I can do my designs here. I don't need to go to London. I can do my designs here just as well. Better. Now I've changed my attitude to life, they'll be infinitely better.
And I'll write much better books. I'll move into totally new fields. Forget railways. I'll go into coastal steamers.
So we're staying on, Nancy. We're staying with you.
But I don't want you.
What?
I don't need you.
What?
I've got Winston.
Winston?
Yes. That's the important thing I was going to tell you.
I don't understand.
Winston and I are going to live together. He settled everything with his wife and the ankle biters. He's going to give her his motor, his car, and we're going to live together somewhere nice, and it'll be near the shops and...
You and Winston! I just don't believe it.
Well, why not? Why not me and Winston?
Why not, Nancy? Why not?
And she began to laugh. Softly at first, but she laughed and she looked beautiful. And William laughed, and for the first time in his life he didn't look gormless. And I laughed, and I ordered 3 large glasses of port. Not the vintage port, because the price was quite outrageous.
Well then, Nancy, to you and Winston.
To you and Winston.
And you don't mind.
I'm thrilled, Nancy. I'm absolutely delighted.
And you'll go to London? You must go to London.
Yes, Nancy, we'll go to London, and then there'll be just you and Winston. But you must promise me one thing.
What's that?
You won't make him get rid of those tattoos above his nipples.
We drove home, and we sang in the car. We actually sang. There were no squabbles, no tantrums. And Rosie said,
I'm so happy for you, Nancy.
So am I, Nancy. I'm happy for all of us.
When we got home, Winston was waiting for us at the front door. There was a look of alarm on his face.
Oh, my God, it's Father. Oh, my God.
Just wait. Follow me.
He led us into the drawing room. And there was Father. He was fully dressed. He was sitting in his armchair, smoking a pipe and drinking a glass of gin.
What, old chap?
Father, what are you doing out of bed? You're supposed to be at death's door.
Yeah, I know. It's a load of old rot, isn't it?
Winston, what is going on?
I don't know, Nancy. I was downstairs baking apple strudel with real apples, look, and I looked up, and there's your father standing at the door fully dressed. I'd bloody near jumped out of my skin, I did.
It's indeed fearfully amusing.
Father, the doctor told
me... No, well, never mind the quack, Rosie. Frightful chap with his golf socks and his damp fingers. This reminds me of a quack I once knew in India. Darn fine polo player, but a complete duffer when it came to mumps.
Father, I just don't understand.
Oh, it's very simple, Nancy. I was just tired, that's all. Very, very tired. Exceedingly tired. And then I woke up and I thought, jigger me, they think I'm going to die. Oh, what rot, I'm not dying, I'm still in my prime. I'm not ready for my death. Fearfully inconvenient death. Long, slow, dark corridor, the dead. Fearful people, the dead, fearful neighbours. I miss out on so much of the finer things of life. Do they wear multicoloured socks, the dead? Do they entertain visitors for supper in their own homes, or breed dandy-din mutt terriers, or collect cigarette cards, or salivate, or use languid, redolent words like jettison, garrison, flatulence? Fearfully pleasant word, flatulence. Oh, the poor, listless, unenterprising dead. The dead. All I've got to say about the dead is that they're a load of twerps. So, my dears, that's why I'm not dying. I'm still in my prime, you see. You've still got a whole new life ahead of me. Yes, whole new life in the bosom of the whole of my family.
What?
Yes, yeah, the whole of us together. We'll stay on here and be a united family just like we always were. We'll have rows and tantrums and squabbles. And Winston can go home to his wife and children and come across from time to time to mend our stench pipes and repair the central heating boiler. And it reminds me of this exceedingly quarrelsome family I once knew in Cawnpur. Or was it Goa?
No, Father. It was here. It was very definitely here.
In Wacko, Jolly Dee, Part 5 of Winston by Peter Tinniswood, Winston was played by Bill Wallace, Father by Maurice Denham, Nancy by Shirley Dixon, Rosie by Liz Golding, and William by Christian Rodsker. Winston was directed in Bristol by Sean McLaughlin.